Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Nama's seminar in Ayurveda. My name is Sri, and I'll be moderating tonight's seminar, Pranayama for Sattva Boosting. Firstly, thank you for being part of a community during these difficult times. We need community more than ever as we respect others with social distancing. For those of you who had registered for conference, refunds are being processed now. Nama is working very hard to turn around the conference and move it online. The dates will be the same, April 24th through 26th. Stay tuned for emails from Nama in early April. All information will also be in the conference section of the Nama's website. Developed and hosted by Nama's PACE program, the seminars in Ayurveda are 60-minute monthly teleconferences that aim to enhance the Ayurvedic profession through educational engagement. Professional Nama members can earn one PACE credit after listening to tonight's seminar and completing an online survey that's located by looking up the title of the seminar, Pranayama for Sattvic Boosting. To retrieve the handout, please go to www.ayurvedanama.org, click on the Member Center tab, then click on Seminars in Ayurveda tab and click on tonight's seminar title. Thank you for listening. For Nama members, a link for the recording to submit for PACE credits will be available in approximately 1 week after staff edits the audio file as needed and does the background work needed for posting. At this time, we will mute all listeners so we can hear our presenter clearly. You will have an opportunity to ask questions during the Q&A portion of the seminar towards end of the presentation. Today's topic is Pranayama for Sattva Boosting. Explore the nourishing power of pranayama to enhance mental harmony and peacefulness. We will discuss techniques for reducing excess rajas and tamas and try a few techniques together to boost sattva. Pranayama can be wonderful for both the client and the clinician. Today's speaker for the evening is Ms. Larissa Hall-Colson. She has a master's degree and is an Ayurvedic practitioner and a registered yoga teacher, former dean of and a current faculty member at the Krupalu School of Ayurveda. Ms. Larissa guides retreats, directs trainings, and provides consultations around the globe. She empowers people to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature through the time-honored techniques of Ayurveda, yoga, and mindfulness. Ms. Larissa, you may now have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Sri. I'm glad the time has finally come for us to gather together. So I want to welcome everyone. I am on the phone up in Vermont, and it is a snowstorm right now. So we're going back and forth between the Vata and Kapha season here. But I'm sure that many of you are tuning in from various spots around the country and working with the different seasonal transitions amidst the global transitions. So I hope that this call finds you and your family safe and healthy and taking solace in your Sangha members and friends. Tonight we are exploring pranayama, which is one of my favorite topics of all time. Those who have studied with me at Krupalu or at Nama conferences in the past or online, I'm sure know quite well how much I love pranayama. And so I'm glad to be able to share some of the practices for boosting sattva, settling excess rajas, and lifting excess tamas with you. You'll find on the handout that I've created for tonight's call, there is some basic information on some of the more gentle pranayams like Nadi Shodhana, Brahmari Pranayam, Ujjayi, and Shitali. But I may end up talking about additional techniques. You'll also find on your handout additional resources from me. So beyond this call, if you are interested in practicing more pranayama, if you'd like to be guided, I have on my website lots of free pranayama audio tracks. Some are for the doshas, so I have pranayama and meditation for Vata, for Pitta, and for Kapha, as well as other types of tracks. And that's all free on my website. So you can find that at larissacarlson.com, and you'll see other resources and links on that handout too. So I hope that's helpful. I will talk for about 40 minutes, and then we'll open up to Q&A. So, pranayama. Prana, of course, means life force energy or vitality. And prana is abundant. It's abundant in air, water, sunshine, fresh food. Prana is abundant. And pranayama is the control and the enhancement of that life force energy. And so pranayama is often described as breath work or breathing techniques, but it's a much bigger practice than that. So in the yogic path, pranayama falls into the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga, which is just a tiny little portion of the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali, giving us a roadmap to go from gross techniques to subtle practices, giving us a direction to move the mind towards sattva so that we can discover truth and through that enhanced wisdom learn to overcome suffering. So the eight-limb path takes us from, of course, the yamas and niyamas of ways of interacting with society and ways of interacting with self and caring for self, into seated postures, breath work, then into the deeper states, the deeper parts of the path of sense withdrawal and the three different levels of meditation and from pratyahara into dharana, dhyana, and samadhi. So pranayama is the fourth of the eight limbs, and it is quite a big limb. It's not just gross breathing. It's a bigger practice than that. So prana is abundant in air and water and oxygen and sunshine, as I've said, and fresh food, and prana can come in to the system through all five sense organs. Vata dosha moves the energy in through the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, and the skin. So the enhancement and the control of the life force energy can be done, of course, through breathing techniques, which is what we'll talk about specifically tonight. But it's also done through what we see, what we watch, the interactions we have, the company we keep, the kinds of conversations we have, the air quality against the skin, the kind of touch that we have on the skin, the things we listen to and such, all of these choices of how we live and how we interact will directly affect how the energy is flowing through the system. So it's not just breathing techniques, but all of lifestyle. It's the whole dinacharya that will affect how the energy is flowing through the system. So I mention that at the forefront because if we want to change the energy flow, just controlling the breath is not enough. It's important to ensure that we're making sattvic choices in what we're eating, what we're watching, what we're listening to, who we're hanging out with, and such. So that all of that together, the culmination of that will really support long-lasting sattva and enduring sattvic states so that the shift into rajas or tamas in the mind is temporary or mild and not all-consuming. Now, pranayama is certainly a limb that focuses on breathing techniques, and there are many, many breathing techniques, many, many pranayams. There are ones that have been around for many thousands of years that are in the classic texts. And there are also breathing techniques that have been adapted to modern times and to the needs of the common person, the lay person, the householder, the person on the go. And we can look at these pranayama practices in many different ways, through many different lenses. And one of the lenses is looking at pranayama techniques in the lungana brahmana categories. So there are breathing techniques that are nourishing and building in nature, and there are pranayama practices that are lightening or reducing in nature. So there are going to be pranayama practices that are really soothing and grounding and relaxing. Most of those, what I put on your sheet, your handout tonight, is mostly in that category. It's in the more gentle category, or the more nourishing, building, brahmana category of technique. But there are many practices that are lightening and reducing and stimulating and energizing and drying and heating, more lungana in nature generally. And we can also adapt any of the pranayamas to meet the needs of the current situation, to meet the needs of the Vikriti. So any pranayama, any pranayama technique can be done fast or slow. Any breathing technique can be done in a deep way or with a shallow practice. Pranayams can be adjusted based on the length of the practice. So you could do a short pranayama practice or a really long pranayama practice. The techniques can all be adjusted based on the intensity of the technique. So you can have like a really robust, loud, stimulating exploration, or a very soft, quiet, gentle pranayama practice. So pranayama falls into the laws or the rules of cause and effect. So the way that the pranayama is done is what's most important. Not which pranayama is done, but how is it being done. That's what we're looking at. And so you want to keep in mind, in using pranayama to boost sattva, you want to keep in mind not only the mahagunas, but the 10 pairs of opposites as well. So if we're using pranayama to enhance sattva, and I can actually just pause here to explain sattva as being harmony and balance, ease and order, and lightness and truth and comfort and stability and steadiness and harmony, peace. So if we're trying to boost sattva in the mind, we first need to identify what's going on in the current state that is not sattvic, and how can we adjust the breathing techniques to bring us back to that state of sattva. So there's sattva, which is what we want to boost, and or what we want to come back to, really, because we know in Sankhya philosophy that the true state of the mind is sattvic. The word for one of the many words in Sanskrit, but one of the most important words for mind is sattva. The mind is sattvic. It is peaceful. It is in harmony naturally. That is the natural state of the mind for everyone, no matter what your constitution, according to Sankhya. So if the mind is always in this state of peacefulness and ease, then we're simply restoring sattva. Or you could think of it as we're clearing out excess rajas or excess tamas that veil the true sattvic nature of the mind. So in choosing to do pranayama to boost sattva, we want to identify when the mind is in a rajasic state, when it's in a state of overactivity or scatteredness, restlessness, ungroundedness, spaciness, spazziness, being revved up, being, you know, bouncing thing to thing to thing to thing, you know, too much vata and pitta, kind of in a tornado together. So if there's too much rajas, too much momentum, too much chala, too much lightness, too much speed and momentum, then we'll need to use opposite qualities in the pranayama practice to reduce that excess rajas and restore the sattvic mind. So those are going to be mostly grounding, settling approaches to breathing, which we'll discuss. The opposite would be if the mind is clouded with excess tamas. So tamas, when it's in excess, shows up as inertia, dullness, lethargy, sluggishness, foggy thinking, being indifferent, not caring, being ignorant, not caring for self, not practicing self-hygiene, being very stubborn and just kind of stuck in the mud, you know, mentally and emotionally stuck in the mud, feeling really blah and tamasic. And so if there's this heavy, dense fogginess to the mind, that tamas in excess, then the pranayama is going to have to be different. It can't just be soothing. That's not opposite enough. So the opposite of rajas is tamas, right? The opposite of tamas is rajas. And so we have to use the opposite to restore the sattva, generally speaking. So if the mind is in that tamasic state, then we'll be using pranayamas that are more energizing, stimulating, awakening, lifting, more lungana, to cut through that tamasic fog and restore sattva. Okay? So think of it kind of as like a seesaw, right? There's rajas on one side, tamas on the other side, and when they're balanced, then we feel the true nature of sattva governing the mind. So if the mind is mostly sattvic, if the mind is, you know, the current state of the mind is mostly at ease and at peace and at balance, then the pranayama practice can be a nice mix of energizing and soothing. You can have like a bell curve practice where you warm up, intensify, and then integrate, and you get a nice mix of kind of rajasic pranayams and tamasic pranayams. I'm using those words as being positive and good here. You can have kind of energizing, stimulating pranayams done and soothing, grounding pranayams done in the same practice, and that together will keep that seesaw pretty balanced, and the mind will stay in a sattvic state or even be elevated, ideally, to support a deeper sattvic meditation. But tonight we're going to focus on more of the extremes, like how do we restore sattva, not just boost the sattva, but how do we restore sattva so that it can be boosted? And so we're really looking at when the mind is too rajasic or when the mind is too tamasic. So then we look at the remedies. And the remedy is using pranayama as a therapeutic practice. And this will be important both for the clinician and for the client. So as Ayurvedic counselors and practitioners and doctors, it is always ideal to be as sattvic as possible when working with others and living our lives, but certainly when teaching and being with clients. And so the pranayamas can be used to center the self before engaging in a private consultation or a workshop or something like that. You can use the pranayama to settle your excess rajas or to lift your excess tamas before working with someone else's energy. And so as professional members of Nama, the pranayams are incredibly useful in little snippets, you know, just as little centering practices right before working with clients. But they're also really useful at the beginning of sessions with clients. So when the client enters the room, you'll begin to notice whether the client is sattvic or has too much rajas showing up or has excess tamas manifesting. And then as a clinician, if you're comfortable with these techniques, then you can skillfully pick and choose which pranayamas in the moment would most settle your client and help your client get back to a sattvic state so that the Ayurvedic session can be as fruitful and juicy and supportive and nurturing as possible. You know, really helping that client to, as quickly as possible, remove the veil of rajas and tamas, of excess rajas and tamas, and get back to that sattvic state. So when we're looking at pranayamas to boost sattva, we can begin by just looking at this list and adjusting these classic practices. So on your handout, you'll find on page one, the very first practice that I've provided is Nadi Shodhana. And Nadi Shodhana, or the channel purifying breath, it's often called the alternate nostril breath, but it doesn't mean that. It means channel purifying. Nadi Shodhana is generally considered tridoshic, so it's actually good for all three doshas, and it's generally good for being in the sattvic state of mind, supporting a sattvic mind, maintaining that sattvic mind and preparing for meditation. It's also settling for excess rajas in the mind. It's usually used for that purpose, is to settle excess rajas. And it's also supportive, because it is cleansing in nature, can be supportive for tamasic nature as well. But it's not excellent for that. It's not excellent for tamasic nature, because it's generally a little mild, a little too mild. So it's generally best for boosting or maintaining sattva and for reducing excess rajas. If we want to cut through tamasic nature, Nadi Shodhana won't always do the trick. So there are some ways that we can kind of kick it up and add a little lungana quality to it, layering on ujjayi, the ocean-sounding breath, the victorious breath, to add a little fire, a little heat, a little sound, to give some sharpness, some tikshna quality to the Nadi Shodhana. That's a really easy way to adjust the alternate nostril breath to make it more lifting for tamas. Doing a more advanced exploration of it with breath retentions, that can really cut through tamasic nature. So I've added on your handout a couple bullets down the more advanced practice of Nadi Shodhana, or the next level of practice of Nadi Shodhana, is to add an internal breath retention, or in Sanskrit, the Antara Kumbhaka or Abhyantara Kumbhaka, which is holding the breath in when the lungs are inflated. And that has a heating nature to it. The body temperature heats the air in the lungs, and that the air will start to expand, and that really demands the mind's present attention and helps to wash and clean and cleanse and brighten the nadis and leave more of a more tejas, more radiance and luster in the mind. So it's giving a brightness to balance that tamasic quality showing up. So I really love adding breath retention to Nadi Shodhana. Now, you'll find in some of the classics that that practice is still called Nadi Shodhana. Like in the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, there's no variation in name. But in different traditions, like the Kripalu tradition, which is one of the main traditions that I'm from, the teachers, they separate the title of the pranayama. So Nadi Shodhana is breathing from side to side with no breath retention. And as soon as a breath retention is added, the Kripalu lineage changes the name of the technique and calls it Anuloma Viloma, which is what you'll see on your handout. So that begins with an internal breath retention. But if we want to really cut through tamasic nature, then we can also add external breath retention. And that's known as Baya Kumbhaka. So that is very lungana in nature. It's heating, depleting, drying, brightening, energizing. And so you can do Nadi Shodhana or Anuloma Viloma with both internal and external breath retention. And that is a wonderful, wonderful way to cut through tamasic nature and restore sattva. You can also do that with the Ujjayi Pranayama on the inhalations and exhalations. So you have that heat and focus and concentration that Ujjayi gives during that practice. And you can even add counting. So counting the breath, doing ratio breaths, like inhaling to 4, holding for 16, exhaling to 8 is a very classic way of doing this. And that the counting adds rhythm, it adds tikshna, it keeps the mind focused, so really prevents that tamasic not mind from dropping into kind of daydreaming or autopilot mode. So lots of ways to work with Nadi Shodhana to cut through tamasic nature. The challenge, though, is that when we add breath retentions, then there are lots of precautions and contraindications because breath retentions are not safe for everyone. They are always avoided during pregnancy. They're always avoided during heart conditions, which many of our clients have nowadays. Tachycardia, pacemakers, uncontrolled high blood pressure, things like that. Like never do Kumbhak with those conditions. It can be very, very dangerous for the heart. And also lung conditions like emphysema, cardio-obstructive pulmonary disorder. These conditions are, we would avoid Kumbhak, avoid breath retention for those conditions. So the tamasic lifting techniques in the alternate nostril breath of using breath retention are not going to be safe for all of your clients. And so, and you'll want to know these techniques really well in your own body and mind before you offer them to someone else. But I hope this is helpful in starting to think about the different ways that one pranayama can be adjusted to cut through tamasic nature or to just settle rajasic nature and help restore sattva. So if we wanted to settle rajas, then with the alternate nostril breath with Nadi Shodhana, we can do it more slowly, do it longer, really allow the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest system to take over. So doing Nadi Shodhana for a long, slow, relaxing round really helps to settle the rajas. We can add to that even drishti, so bringing the mind's attention down. Because when there's excess rajas, there's usually upward focus. There's a lot of udana vayu going on, a lot of up and out energy. And so to settle that udana vayu, to settle that excess rajas, simply bringing the mind's attention and the drishti down towards the navel, or the legs, or the feet, or even just the heaviness of the hands resting on the lap. If you bring the attention downward, the mind and the prana will start to flow downward too. So there are just so many rich and fun and exciting ways to adjust any of the techniques to be more supportive for tamas or more supportive for rajas in order to boost sattva. So the same thing would be true for any of the pranayamas, including the bumblebee breath, Brahmari, which is also considered generally tridoshic, really supportive for sattvic states, an excellent pranayama to do right before meditation to really launch the mind into a deep state of self-reflection and expansion. But it can be adapted and adjusted to meet the needs of rajas and tamas. So just like asana can be adapted, and just like the use of herbs will be adapted to find just the right dosage for the vikriti of the client in that moment, just as the dinacharyas and the portions of our diet, everything in Ayurveda is fine-tuned and personalized to what the needs are in the moment. Pranayama is exactly the same. There's not one way to do each breathing technique. There are endless possibilities for each technique. One just needs to be aware of what we ourselves as the practitioners or what the client needs, and then adapt the pranayama practice to that need, adjust the gunas of the pranayama to get the job done, to boost the sattva. So the bumblebee breath, which is, I'm going to say each pranayama is my favorite because they're all my favorite when I'm talking about them. The bumblebee breath is just, it's buzzing. It clears out tamasic nature. It's so wonderful for just cutting through stagnation and darkness in the mind. But you can do more rounds in order to get that job done. You know, you can bring the drishti up to the third eye point. The volume of the bumblebee breath can be louder and more robust. One can use a higher pitch when making the buzzing sound. And all of those choices for the execution of the bumblebee breath will change the effects of that pranayama. If we wanted to use the bumblebee breath to settle rajas, then we might do a shorter set with a lower tone, with a softer volume, with a lower focal point or drishti. And so the humming sound becomes nourishing and grounding instead of energizing and purifying and lifting. It's the same pranayama. It's not being mutilated in any way. You're just picking the way it's being executed. And this is key. This is what, unfortunately, many practitioners nowadays just haven't yet been exposed to, the rich explorations of each technique. There are so many ways. Just like the classics say, there are 100,000. There are 100,000 expressions of each asana. 100,000 ways to do each posture. I would argue the exact same is true with the pranayamas. Any technique can be adjusted with drishti, pace, duration, intensity, volume, mudra, all of these things to make it more effective for the practitioner or for the client. It just takes skillful observation. It requires swadhyaya and then skillful execution. So play and practice with these techniques, and you'll be able to adjust them, you know. Brahmari, the bumblebee breath, is a really excellent one. It's generally quite safe, but it is one that is generally avoided for things like vertigo, epilepsy, glaucoma. And one has to be quite careful with traumas and PTSD, which, again, many of our clients are working with those challenges right now. So you want to be well-versed in each practice before sharing with others. You'll see on your list also Ujjayi, the ocean-sounding breath. You know, it can be done with more vigor, with more volume and a higher drishti in order to lift tamasic nature. Or Ujjayi can be done very softly, a lulling, humming sound, soft and quiet and nourishing to settle rajas. So I hope you're starting to get this pattern that we can really tweak the practice, every practice, skillfully in order to balance the mahagunas and the 10 pairs of opposites. So what I'd like to do in these remaining 10 minutes or so is try a little bit of this together, and then I'll open up to some questions after that. So in pranayama and in meditation, it's most important that the seat is comfortable and steady. So if you're not already in a steady, comfortable seat and you want to practice and join me in some pranayama, then please take a few moments to readjust your seat. You can sit certainly in a chair nice and upright with your feet grounded, or you can sit in a simple cross-legged position, or Sukhasana or Padmasana, something that's comfortable and steady. You want to make sure that there's even weight distribution in your foundation. So if the feet are on the floor, even out that weight. If the hips are touching the chair or the block or the mat, you know, even that out. And then take some care to lengthen the spine so that the diaphragm, the breathing diaphragm, can move with ease and that the lungs can expand in all directions in the rib cage. And draw the head back over the shoulders so the bones, the asti dhatu, are holding you up, not the mamsa, not the muscles. So align the bones. Tuck the chin slightly. A beautiful thing here is we know that the function of bone tissue, the function of asti dhatu, is dharana. Dharana, concentration in the eight limb path. Same word. The function of bone tissue is concentration. It's dharana and focus. And so we find that in asana. When you align your seat so the bones are bearing the weight and the muscles can relax, it allows a stilling of the mind. It allows a concentration and focus to happen naturally that immediately supports sattva. So take these next few moments just to really line up the bones. Rest the hands comfortably on the lap so the shoulders are broad, the collarbones broad, the back of the neck comfortable, the chin slightly tucked, so you feel steady and comfortable, and that automatically sets up the graceful, fluid circulation of prana through the pranamaya kosha, through the energy body, through the chakras and nadis and vayus and marmas. And then the work becomes much easier. Settling the rajas and the tamas becomes much easier at that point. And we'll begin with a little bit of Nadi Shodhana. So this one is quite safe if you are working with a broken nose or a bloody nose or deviated septum or feeling really congested, then doing a hands-free Nadi Shodhana, just imagining the breath flowing from side to side, that's going to be the best option for you, or the safest or most comfortable option for you tonight. But if you'd like to do hands-on, you can take the right hand into the mudra, tucking the index and middle finger down towards the base of the thumb, or resting the index and middle finger on the third eye point, on the brow. And we'll start gently, and I'll set the rhythm, and then we will play with it a little bit and play with some explorations. I will add some breath retention. I'll add some kumbhak. So if you are pregnant, if you are working with a heart condition or a lung condition like emphysema or COPD, even things like multiple sclerosis where we don't want to heat the nerves, anything like that, please do not do the breath retentions. Please don't do them for pregnancy or heart conditions. You can just keep the breath flowing evenly from side to side. So starting with the closing of the right nostril. Close the right nostril gently with the right thumb and inhale up the left side. When the lungs are full, switch and exhale down the right nostril. Then inhale back up the right side. When the lungs are full, switch and exhale down the left side. That's one cycle. Let's do that again. Inhale left. When the lungs are filled, switch to exhale down the right side. Then inhale back up the right side. Nice, deep, satisfying breath. Do not force. When the lungs are full, switch to exhale down the left nostril, the lunar channel. Then inhale back up that left side. Switch at the top. Exhale right. Inhale back up the right side, smooth, deep breath. And at the top, switch. Exhale left. That's a steady round. Now let's add some ujjayi. Inhale up the left and add the ocean sounding breath. We're going to add a little heat. At the top, switch and exhale down the right side. Continue to use that ujjayi. Keep it smooth and silky. Then inhale back up the right side using ujjayi, soft and smooth and nourishing. When the lungs are full, switch and exhale down the left side. Keep that ujjayi soft and steady. Inhale, left. And switch to exhale, right. Drop your attention down to the navel. Keep the attention to the navel as you inhale, right. Breathing to the navel. And then switch to exhale, left. Exhaling from the navel. Inhale, left. Inhaling down to the navel. Then switch to exhale, right. Exhaling from the navel. Continue, inhale right, inhale to the belly, let it fill. Then exhale left. One more round like that, nice and slow. Inhale left, breathe to the navel. Then switch to exhale right, exhale from the navel, keep the attention downward. Inhale back up the right side. And when the belly's full, switch and exhale down the left side. Now let's inhale up the left side. Let your attention float up to the third eye point. And when the lungs are full, pause and hold the breath in. And then switch and exhale down the right side, the solar channel. Inhale back up the right side. You can add a little more vigor to that ujjayi, a little more volume, bringing the attention up to the third eye point. Keep it there. And switch at the top. Exhale down the left nostril, down the lunar channel. Using that robust ujjayi, inhale back up the left side, filling, engaging, opening the lungs. When the lungs are full, hold the breath in. Let the tejas rise. Let that brightness fill the mind. Then switch and exhale down the right side, down the solar channel. Inhale back up the right side, filling the lungs up and livening the system with prana. When you're full, hold the breath in. Attention to the third eye point. But relax the face and the shoulders. Don't strain. Now switch and exhale down the left side. So we're doing just internal breath retention. Inhale back up the left side, deep, stimulating, enlivening breath, filling up with energy. When your lungs are full, hold at the top. Awareness up at that third eye point. Soften the muscles. Invite the energy to build and stir and churn. Let there be some chala quality. Let there be a little ushna, a little heat. A little lagu, a little light. Then switch and exhale down the right side. Inhale back up the right side. Deep, stimulating, energizing breath. When the lungs are filled, hold the breath in. Attention at the third eye point. Hold steady, hold upward, but soften your muscles. Relax into the holding. Receive the energy. And then switch, exhale down the left side. And release. Let the natural breath return. You might soften or close the eyes if they're not already. And as the natural breath returns, scan the whole system and feel the imprint of that exploration. These three different levels of the channel cleansing breath, the Nadi Shodhana. Be aware of how those different techniques felt while you were exploring them. The basic Nadi Shodhana flowing easily and rhythmically from side to side, very tridoshic, very sattva supporting. And then slowing it down, adding a soft, silky ujjayi to settle the rajas. We added a lower drishti. We focused at the navel, bringing the attention low. Did you find that grounding? And then working with the last expression to lift excess tamas. So my voice changed. I brought the drishti up to the third eye point, invited you to add more volume and more robustness and intensity to the alternate nostril breath. So more volume, adding a kumbhak at the top when the lungs were full, using colorful descriptions and talking about tejas, You know, how did these adjectives and adverbs and changes in the technique and changes in the focus, how did that affect your practice? And take a nice big breath in. Let that out with an easy sigh or sound through the mouth. And so just take a moment or two to reflect on that experience. You know, it's a little sampler, a little taster in how we can adapt the pranayamas to balance excess rajas or tamas and boost sattva. But this theory can be applied to any of the pranayams, the ones that I've mentioned tonight or any of the others. You know, even Bhastrika can be done in a slower or a faster way with a higher or a lower drishti for a longer or a shorter period of time. So any technique can be skillfully adapted when we're aware of the needs of the moment. And you might consider in your personal practice, especially in these days and weeks ahead, you know, are you feeling excess rajas right now? Like so much of the world, you know, feeling excess rajas. And how might you adapt your pranayama practice to be more slowing and grounding and nourishing, more building in nature, more brahmana? Or if you're feeling, you know, it's kapha season for most of us, you know, it's this spring change, and even though it's snowing here in Vermont, you know, it may feel very, very much like kapha season where you are, and you may be feeling the cabin fever and the restlessness and the desire to move and stretch and be stimulated and evaporate the excess kapha. And so you may be feeling excess tamasic nature kind of accumulating right now. And so you may be in these coming days and weeks wanting to kick up your pranayama practice without forcing, without getting aggressive, without being too rough on your system, you know, without disturbing vata. You can add lightness and a little vigor and a little oomph to the pranayama practice to lift that excess tamas skillfully. So considering your own intention and your own needs and working with that before adapting your practices and your sharings to your clients and students and friends and loved ones. So I hope that this has been thought-provoking at the very least, and that it is supportive to you and to your Sangha. I'd like to open up to questions. So Sri, if you want to navigate how we'll do that, then I'm happy to take questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, firstly, Ms. Larissa. I think this is, it's coincidental that, you know, we talked about pranayama, but I think in these difficult times, it's important that we, you know, stay calm and everything. And I think this is really helpful and useful. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. So with that said, I'm going to open up the Q&A session right now. And if you have any questions, you can press *6 and you'll be put in the queue and unmute as, you know, each one of you have any questions. So I'm going to go ahead and put it in Q&A mode right now. Thank you. I'm going to wait for callers to take questions. If you do have any question, please press *6. Go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, you mentioned a handout, and I don't have that. How do I find the handout for today's talk?
So if you go to the Ayurveda Nama website, do you happen to be on the page where you can see the seminars in the Ayurveda tab?
I'm at www.ayurvedanama.org.
Then you should just click on the Member Center tab. Do you see a Member Center tab to the right?
I'm not there. Let's see. Become a member.
You should see, yeah. You should see a member center tab on the top, and then you just click on the seminars. When you just select in the drop-down, you should see seminars.
Sorry, I'm not finding any. It says preserve, protect, promote, become a member, apply here.
I think you're trying to log in. Can we take this offline? How about we just, can I have your phone number, please?
630-235-6829.
Okay, perfect. I will call you right after this, and then I can, or in the end of the session, I'm going to walk everyone through it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go ahead with your question, please. Hello?
Hi. The last question may have been the same as this, but as I was going through the process to set up to ask my question, I didn't hear it. I was asking about the worksheet that you're mentioning. Is that on the NAMA website or somewhere else?
Yes, it's on the NAMA website. If you go to the seminars in Ayurveda,
that's fine. I know how to find it there. I wasn't sure if...
Yeah, it will say download the handout. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead with your question, please.
Hello, is it my turn?
Yes, please.
Oh, hi. I also want to say hi to Larissa. It's Mary Connor up here in the Upper Peninsula.
Hey, Mary.
It's snowing where you are, too. What's that?
Is it snowing there, too, huh?
No, it did a couple days ago, but we're still skiing, hopefully.
Okay.
Although
good.
They said that they can't groom because of whatever. So I was wondering about the Brahmani breath, the bee's breath, and you said to get rid of the tumis, you want to go into a like higher tone. Was that correct?
Yeah, you can do a higher pitch, like a instead of
okay.
Yeah,
and then to do that would be to do it also longer, like try
yeah, like more round
time.
So like yeah, so instead of like two or three or four humming tones, you might do
mm-hmm.
five or six or seven, you know, like stay at it, because usually with tumis, it needs a little more dynamite, you know, to cut through it. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. So you do a little longer, and that usually
mm-hmm.
will support it. Mm-hmm.
And then I had also heard that the Brahmani is really good to help with pitta. Is that correct?
Well, again, it can be, depending on how it's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little
so
split
the
if the pitta's high.
Yeah, if the pitta's high, so Brahmari is, the classics say it's actually excellent for anxiety and scatteredness and such. So it can be great for excess rajas, which often is elevated when there's excess pitta. Not always, but often.
Correct.
And
mm-hmm.
so... the doing the bumblebee breath in a way that's slower and a little softer in volume and with a moderate pitch or a low pitch, because pitta is light and so heavy or downward, drishti is opposite. And
okay.
So doing the bumblebee breath with the attention down at the navel or at the floor, doing it softer, making sure not to put pressure on the eyes during the use of the mudra. All of that would be important for protecting alochaka pitta and such. But it can be excellent for clearing out the planning mind of pitta. It can
mm-hmm.
really be great for resetting sadhaka. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay. Thank
mm-hmm.
you so much.
Yeah. Have fun with it.
Yep. Thanks.
Go ahead with your question, please.
Hi. Thank you so much. Great seminar. And my question is, how do you introduce these variations of pranayama in a group setting? Because when I teach a class of 6 to 8, sometimes I say, if you're feeling sluggish today, do X or Y. But to have it be done so nuancedly the way you did, which was beautiful, I love it, but I'm also realize how little I can actually put that in group classes.
Yeah. It's going to be a situation by situation decision. You know, these practices were originally taught in very small groups or one-on-one. And so to adapt it to a very small group or one-on-one is pretty easy. But if you have several students, often students are unfortunately competing and comparing with one another, and they all want to do the same thing, you know. And so it can be difficult to encourage folks to adjust skillfully to what they actually need. And so you may sometimes choose to do the variation that's going to support the largest number of students in the group that day. So if overwhelmingly the class seems rajasic, then do the pranayamas in a way that's rajas settling. You know, just like dosha balancing yoga, it would be adjusted to the majority of the class. And then you can offer options to the folks who don't fall into that set of gunas, or needs. Or you can take folks kind of on a little exploration where you lead it one way, lead it a different way, and then give them a third round where they pick the way that seems best for them in that moment. But too many options, options is vata deranging, too many options is, makes people crazy. And so it's really sometimes best as a teacher just to decide, like, hey, everybody's lifting tummas right now. We're going to do it this way, and just go slowly so you can find just the right dosage for the group, just the right amount.
Thank you. That really makes a lot of sense. I am going to try that out. Thank you.
Oh, welcome. Have fun with it.
Go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, I'm having trouble getting the PowerPoint or whatever you're doing, and I'm on the website.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do this. So did you go to ayurvedanama.org?
Yes.
Okay, and then do you see a Member Center tab to the rightmost corner, right before the donate button?
Yes, I do, yes.
And then when you scroll down, you should see seminars in Ayurveda?
Yes.
And then when you click on it, you should, if you scroll down a little bit, under upcoming seminars in Ayurveda, you should see Pranayama for Sattva Boosting, today's date.
Yes, I do. Yes, download
and
the
handout. And then, do you see the download the handout? Yeah, that's
yes.
What I used.
Thank you so much. And I just, in listening to the tone and the whole organization that the speaker gave, it's just... so reinforcing that we're in the right way of living and studying Ayurveda, and it just gives me so much clarity for the clients that I have. So I want to say thank you.
That's great to
hear.
Thank
you very much. I think that's all the callers we've got for today. But before we take leave for the evening, I have a question. Just with everything that's going on right now, do you have a healthy regimen that you can give us, a small breathing technique in the morning, right when you wake up, regardless of what doshic imbalances you have?
is there anything that you can suggest us as part of a morning regimen, just for like a couple of minutes before you start your day, and actually, you know, whether you're working remotely or looking for something, whatever the answer is, but is there something that that you can give us a takeaway today before we call off the seminar?
I would say sun breaths, doing sun breaths, inhaling the arms up overhead and exhaling the arms down, because you can do them slowly or quickly, but the sun breaths are great for increasing lung capacity, taking in lots of oxygen and prana, stretching intercostal muscles between the ribs, helping to decongest the lymph nodes and boost immunity, get out excess ama and such. So they're tridoshic and great in the morning. So just like at the beginning of sun salutations, you know, the sun breaths, which can be done seated in bed or seated at an office chair or seated on the couch, you know, those would be ideal. But I also have for folks, I encourage everyone to go to my website at larissacarlson.com, and you'll find on the media tab, there's a pull down to audio, video, and articles. And I have loads of pranayama audio tracks that are free, lots and lots of them, plus meditations for the doshas and mindfulness practices.